Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's just take this time to just pray and seek God's face. Father, my God, we thank you. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you. There is none like thee, O Lord. Father, my God, we commit this time into your hands. We commit this time into your hands and we ask for you to take full control. We come against every form of distraction in the name of Jesus. We ask that you enable us to stay focused upon you, Father and my God. King of kings, we look to you and we will not be overwhelmed. We look to you and we will not be overwhelmed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we're fixing our eyes upon you, the one who is enabling us, the one who is protecting us, the one who is guiding us. We're fixing our eyes upon you and we will not be overwhelmed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, King of kings. We worship you and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome to the program. Just want to say that we had a program last Saturday and we'll be having another one in a couple of months, so do tune in and gather the information. I don't know whether it's encourage you enough to actually get the information that you require, because we're in a season where we need to just fix our eyes upon Jesus. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, and there's so much distractions. You know, there's distraction can be the news, the distraction can be Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. You know, you say you're just going to look a bit, and before you know it, 2-3 hours have gone, the whole day has gone by, and we've not fixed our eyes. And I'm saying fix our eyes because we want to be transformed from the inside out. And the only way we're transformed is by hearing and hearing the word of God. But to fix our eyes upon the one. You know, when we enter into a personal relationship, you know, become a Christian. Becoming a Christian is entering into personal relationship with the Lord. And in this season, it's really important because this is the whole reason for all we do. Because, you know, it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begun son, that whoever believe in him shall not die but have everlasting life. Now God so loved, it was love, out of love for us that he gave. And in this season we recognize that he gave. You know, many times people recognize the birth, Christmas, and because it seems so jolly and so lovely and everything, but there's the crucifixion and the resurrection, and we need to fix our eyes upon that section because that is the difference. That is what makes the difference, you know, that gives us that new life, because he gave up his life for us. You know, when we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, something wonderful happens. Our sins are forgiven and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We become a new creation. Our spirit man is ignited. Now, if you've not had that moment, you need to just give your life to Christ. Surrender, you know, just surrender your life to Christ. Say, I surrender my life to you, Lord. I surrender. Show yourself strong. I know that you are my personal Lord. As you know, pray and ask him to show himself strong, and he will. He will reveal himself to you. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read 16. So, 2 Corinthians 5:16. So, we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Okay. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he was merely a human being. How differently I think of him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone and the new life has begun. All this newness of life from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. So it's a reconciliation, coming back. Those that didn't know, coming back. Those that knew but have gone astray, coming back, reconciling. Reconciling, making up, you know, having that relationship, having that connection. Now, I have to say in this season, though, there will be little things that will want to niggle at you. Little things that will want to trip you up. Little things that will want to cause you to falter. But I want you to make up your mind to fix your eyes upon Jesus. You know, and every time you're niggled, every time you feel a bit prickly, just fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes and say, I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. Just keep saying that. Just keep saying that. Because we have to keep saying that. Because those things are getting us to react. You know, react in ways that we ought not to. Now, Amplified Version says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he's a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Because spiritual awakening brings a new life. The new, old things, old things, old things. You know, old spiritual condition, old ways of thinking, old ways of doing, old ways of believing. And in this season, you know, in this season where we're preparing for the crucifixion, I want us to be casting off old things, old things. Old things. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. Preparing to the crucifixion, you know, the Lord said that to Peter that you're going to be sifted, but I've prayed for you. You know, we need to look at those things as a sifting. You know, if you look at how things, flour is sifted, you shake it in a container with really tiny holes. And anything that has, if it has a little lumps or grains or anything, thing that shouldn't be there, or, you know, the flour's gone a bit moist and it's formed little flour balls, as it were, those don't go through. So we can look at it that way, that the enemy was sifting. And that means those little things that sometimes go unnoticed will be revealed. And we need to endeavor not to respond. We need not to respond in the old ways, because we have become new. And this is about a newness coming over in our thinking and our belief system. You know, we need that, excuse me, we need that newness. We need that newness. I really want to encourage us to have that newness in our thinking, in our belief system, in our hopes. A newness. What is God saying? What are we believing for? You know, you can be believing for something for so long that now disbelief sets in, because you haven't seen it, because it's just not happening. But if we look at that journey to the cross, I'm sure the disciples were wondering, wait, we even thought you were going to be like David. What is all this going on? What is this that is going on? How can this be? How? What? But we know the end of the matter. The Lord knew the end of the matter. Jesus, he didn't want to go through it, said, you know, take this cup from me. The end of the matter was greater. The end of the matter. So that end of matter is not materialized in your life. So we need to keep pushing through. We need to keep pushing through. Believe in God for that newness. Believe in God that he's going to bring something back to life. He's going to start something new. He's taking you to that new place. Now, 1 John 3:7. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it is because they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy these works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not sin, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they have been born of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not obey God's command and does not love Christians does not belong to God. Those who have been born into God's family do not sin, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they're being born of God. We can't keep on sinning because we're being born of God. We can't keep on doing that which we ought not to do because we're being born of God. We can't just keep doing the whole thing the same way. You know, if we keep doing the same thing all the time and thinking for a different result, no, it's not going to happen. We have to change. We have to do something. And I know it's difficult when we're believing God for something. You know, I remember many, many moons ago speaking to someone who was believing to get married. And I remember her saying, I've been quiet, thinking that would help. Didn't. I've been noisy, loud, didn't help. I've been like this, I've been like that. I'm a bit confused as what to do. When we've done all that we know to do, we need to leave it, drop it, leave it to Jesus, because his ways are not our ways, and he works it out. He does work it out. He does bring it. And talking of this person, he worked it out in a way that was a miracle, in a way that was just marvelous, in a way. It just worked out in a way that was least expected. And the Lord does least expected. So that's why we have to, because remember the journey to the cross, the crucifixion, was the least expected route from what they heard, from what the prophets had said, for how they felt this Messiah was going to come. It was not this way. So that same thing, the Lord does the least expected. You might be looking to the left and thinking it's coming that way. It can come from the right. It can come from the center. It can come from any which way. But we have to keep hoping and believing. Please, in all the belief, don't give up the faith. don't give up and say, well, it won't happen. No. With Christ, all things are possible. You know, God sees his principle of life, the essence of his righteous character, remains permanently in him. Everything in Christ remains permanent. It's amazing to realize that when you accept, when you decide to walk that journey with Christ and take him as your Lord and Savior, there's a seed that is planted and your spirit comes alive. But you know, when we've journeyed and journeyed and journeyed and you get tired, what we need to do is encourage ourselves in the Lord. We don't want to sound, you know, like the Israelites. You know, they're my favorite people because they so express human nature, that start thinking of the cucumbers and the melons that were happening in Egypt. That, oh, this journey, you know, before I used to be able to eat the No, we don't want to be looking at the cucumbers and melons. We don't want to look at the old lifestyle. We don't want to look at how those things are. New things are happening every day, and newness is happening. I want us to hold on tight, that these things that want to drag you down, that want to pull you down, we have to say no to them in the name of Jesus. We have to say no to them. You might suddenly find something new is happening and you get frightened or overwhelmed. You know, sometimes you won't say frightened, but overwhelmed. You know, because sometimes it sounds like a fancy word, but you get overwhelmed. No, that's still fear. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. I want us to think, picture that journey and let the newness of Christ, the renewness of Christ, renew and make your life new. Because sometimes we can go on the journey and we'll get distracted. We'll start, you know, just looking at the trees and the, you know, getting distracted by things, getting distracted by, and convince ourselves we're not distracted, but we're distracted. We're not on the point. We're not on the main. I don't want anyone to be left behind when the water parts. I want us all to cross to that other side. And some of you might be wondering, what does that mean? You know, when Moses had the staff up, I sense that we're in that season. You know, new things are happening. Can we not perceive it? But as the waters part, I want us to be ready to cross and not be there, you know, looking at the Egyptians coming, looking at the cloud, looking at the fire, looking at the water, looking at, well, I wonder what the fishes are, looking and getting distracted. I want us to stay focused and say, Lord, renew my thinking, renew, awaken my spirit man, awaken my spirit man. You know, sometimes a spirit man is just like going, awaken. You know, you can get this kind of fatigue that you sleep and you wake up, you're tired. We ask the Lord to awaken our spirit man. Because spiritually, I think sometimes people get fatigued. Awaken my spirit man. Let there be a newness of life. Let there be a renewing of life. Because the old things, the old condition has passed away. In him, we have everything we need In Him we have everything. In Jesus, you know, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we have everything. We need to learn how to think, talk, act. And we need to do all these things as unto Christ, as Christ would do. I'm not saying it's easy. And sometimes, you know, you give your life and then you start walking and you think, oh, this is too difficult, and you might want to walk backwards. No, this is not a return policy thing. We need to keep marching forward. We need to keep marching forward because we're at the cusp of something new, cusp of things changing. Now, there's a lot happening at the moment. There's a lot happening, you know, in different parts of this country. And a lot of people are worried. But let's fix our eyes upon Jesus so that we know what to do. I find myself repeating consistently, the sons of Issachar knew the times and seasons and knew what to do. Let us know what to do. Let us know what to do. Let our hearts be renewed, our minds be renewed, you know, our actions be renewed. Let us not be tripped up by the foxes. Let us not be tripped up by the little things, our old way of thinking, believing. But let us be fixing our eyes upon the one that is taking us forward. Never say that you're not able. You're able, because it's not you that's actually doing it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You want a child, you want children. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let His name be glorified. Let that newness, everything that you've been looking down, no, fix your eyes. Lift up your staff, whatever your staff represents. Lift up your staff and fix your eyes upon the one. We're new in Christ. We're new in Christ. We are new in Christ. We experience blessings as we study God's word and make decisions to believe what He says more than what we believe or how we feel. You know, that's hard because our feelings can rage a storm within us. You know, someone stubbed my toe, I feel pain. But the pain may die down. But if I continue saying to myself, I'm feeling pain, I might be feeling pain, but the pain has died down. So we need to say, right, yes, we feel this, but how must we respond? As we grow in our relationship with Christ, we discover more of who we are and whose we are and what we have in Him. Because the treasure is not in Christ, it's not revealed at the first, you know, the first. Okay, let's look at it. This is a house, you know. And then we go in. Is everything that you have in the house at the front door? No. Everything we have in Christ will not be at the front door. So as we go, in Him we live and move and have our being. As we go into the house, you start seeing, oh, the kitchen. Oh, it has a cooker. Oh, it has a fridge. Oh, it has a freezer. Oh, it has a conservatory. Oh, I didn't even know it had a conservatory. Oh, it had a garage. Oh, it has these bedrooms, that bedroom. It has this, that. But it's not at the front door. So the more we live in Christ, the more we go in, is the more we're going to know who we are and whose we are and what we have in Him. Because when you stay at the front door to observe the front door, you don't know what's there. You know, you actually don't know what's inside that house. You don't know what's in Christ if you just observe at the front. If you just observe, you don't know what's in Christ. But when you step in, hallelujah, when you start going into the corners, then you discover all that there is in Christ. You go, wow. I didn't know this is who I am. I didn't know this is what I didn't know. That's when you discover, wow, he has the cattle on a thousand hills. He's our provider, because we've gone more in it. And this is the thing we need more than anything else, to know who we are and whose we are in Christ, and to know what we've been given as an inheritance because of his death and resurrection. No, if Christ died an old man, it's not going to have the same impact as his, you know, how the crucifixion, his death and his resurrection. You know, if he died an old man, if he died like, let's say, like Moses, went up one hill and didn't return, then it'll be like, oh. But because of the way he died, that public display, shame, humiliation, because he took upon him our sin. And then he resurrected. You know, when he met, he said, don't touch me. And he resurrected. Brand new. It brought that anything that has died can be brought back to life, can be changed and transformed. We need to take time to meditate on the Word of God. We need to study his word so that we understand the fullness of this amazing love that he has given us. Do you understand it? Do we understand it fully? I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure. Because sometimes we say we do, but we don't. You know, we say we do, but we don't really fully understand. You know, can we really comprehend that someone, you know, loved you so much that he died for you and you have been born in this century? Can you actually get understand it? From then he saw you and said, wow, died that death. In today's society, we'll have called it inhumane. You know, even in some parts of the world where they give people the death penalty, they say, no, we need to make it humane. But the way it was, because of the shame and the guilt and the sin that he bore. But the newness, wow. So it shows that no, regardless of what's happened in our lives, it's not over until Jesus says it's over. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, I'm going to read from 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And whenever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. And all of us have that. And all of us have had that veil removed, so that we can be mirrors and brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. I'll read that again. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is the Spirit. And whenever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. we become more and more like Him. We become more and more like Him. We need to become more and more like Christ in this season. And use that to sustain us even more. We need to become more and more like Christ. More and more like Christ. Because there's so much happening in the world that sometimes it can get a bit, I don't know whether it's baffling or boggling, but we need to become more and more like Christ. Because old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Be more like Christ. Let us not go based on our feelings, what we think, what we feel, and let this reflect in all aspects of our lives. Let it reflect in all aspects of our lives. Be more like Christ in your workplace. Be more like Christ at home. Be more like Christ in your relationships. Be more like Christ in your marriage. Be more like Christ in the intended marriage, in your dating. Be more like Christ. Learn how to be more like Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave. In your relationships, when did you give extra? In your marriage, when did you go over and above? Christ gave to the her. We have to ask ourselves, when last did we do that? Now, if everyone was concerned about the other, wouldn't that be a better friendship, relationship? If we considered the other, God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. Now, I want us to really reflect that this is supposed to consume every part of our being. Our walk, our journey, being transformed, being renewed, means that it consumes our every part of our being. Every part. Every part. You know, so that we experience that life from the inside. The transformation happens from the inside and is reflected out. I want us to take the time to study the Word. Find more about who you are and whose you are. Delve deep into the Scriptures regarding the season. Be like a son of Issachar that knows the times and seasons and know what to do. We only know these things the more we study, the more we meditate on the Word, the more we pray. Don't look back at what has gone. Don't look back at, oh, that was better. But look forward to what God is doing and is yet to do. Look forward, knowing that He's doing a new thing. Old things have passed away. Father, my God, we just thank You. Adonai, we praise You. King of kings, we worship You. Son of God, You are so good. We meditate upon Your Word. We meditate on who You are. You know who You are. As it says in 2 Corinthians 3, 18, and all of us have had that veil removed, excuse me, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Lord, we want to reflect Your glory even more in all in our workplace. We want to reflect Your glory even more in our relationships. Want to reflect Your glory even more in our friendships. Want to reflect Your glory even more in our marriage. Want to reflect Your glory more in our those that are dating. We want to reflect your glory more in parenting. We want to reflect your glory more in every aspect of our lives. We want to reflect your glory more. Take full control, Daddy. Take full control, King of Kings. We worship you, Lord. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you, adore you. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're fast coming to the end of the program. But I want us to really think about some of those things that I've mentioned. I want to mention a couple more scriptures. Okay. Mark 11:24. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it'll be yours. So let's look at it. It's from 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. And that comes by letting your mind and everything be renewed. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. And this is where we need that renewing. We can't be double-minded. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it'll be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding grudge against, so that your heavenly Father will forgive your sins too. So there's a strategy there. Asking God to forgive you, asking God to help you, but to forgive others as well. Believe. What are we believing for? You know, in everything we do, we need to pray until, you know, when I was growing, there was pray until something happens. We need to pray. We need to ask God to renew our hearts and our minds. We need to pray because this season there's so much happening. But we need to pray and ask God to help us to focus on Him so that we will not be confused, will not be overwhelmed, we will not be doubtful, but we'll stay focused on the One. We will stay focused on the One. I want you to hold on. Link arms with someone and just stay, you know, hold on to what Christ is doing. He is doing it and He has the final say. Until next week, have a blessed, glorious and wonderful week, and bye for now.
My life is the worship you want to hear. Holy words, devoted life, living order, renewed fire.
Burn, burn, burn. Sing, sing, sing. My life is the worship you want to hear. Holy words,
devoted life,
living altar, renewed fire.
Burn, burn, burn,
burn, burn, burn. Sing, sing, sing. My life is the worship you want to.
Hey, holy words, devoted life. The song you want to hear is surrender.
I surrender all to you.
Holy fire burn up my altar.
Burn through me.
The song you want to hear is surrender.
I surrender.
what you find. When the Holy Ghost sets you on fire, it is called revival. You did hear me. If a man sets himself on fire, it is called revival.